Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Do you feel like you've lost your way on the journey of life? You know, life's journey is meant to be a close, intimate walk with God, trusting Him, following the signs of His Word, and knowing that He is in control. Next on Daily in the Word, we study how to enjoy the journey down Highway 1 with Pastor Paul Chappell. Highway 1, that's the title of our present series, Journeying Through Life with One Savior, One Lord, One God, the Lord Jesus Christ, following His will, discovering His plan for your life day by day. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This radio program comes to you every Monday through Friday at this station at this time. We hope you'll join us. We also hope you'll visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Maybe refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast through iTunes, or you can listen online at dailyintheword.org. In this series, we're taking a journey through God's Word with Pastor Paul Chappell. It's entitled Highway 1. We're discovering how to journey with God through life. And if you seem to have lost your way, if you often find yourself in a fog and needing direction, this series will help you find direction from the Word of God in the will of God. Today we're going to cross the bridge of trust. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Here's Paul Chappell.
And we flew to Manila. We caught another little plane down to Baguio City. And then from there, we took some jeeps up into northern Luzon province. And we went as far as those jeeps could take us in the rain. And they pulled the jeeps over. And now we got out. And there were some men from a place called the Kalinga Jungle. And they had been reached by one of the missionaries with the gospel of Christ. And so they met us with these pitch lamps, kind of a fire really coming off the top of bamboo pitch. And now they're taking us through the jungle. They told us, by the way, there's a lot of terrorists here in the jungle, some communists too. And so I was just sure that around every corner we were going to get jumped or shot or something, you know. And finally we got past that danger and we came to a mighty rushing river, maybe 50 feet wide or so. And to get to the missionary outpost, to the church where we were headed, we had to cross the river. Now the problem was the bridge had not been engineered by graduates of the USC School of Engineering. This particular bridge was made of bamboo strips. It had little vines kind of for the handles. And here's this rushing, swollen river going below us. And we're standing there looking at about an 8-inch to 10-inch plank. And we had to walk across the river by crossing that bridge. I'll tell you, I wasn't too excited about it. And as I looked at that, I began to think, all right, those preachers are kind of heavy set. And I don't know a lot about engineering, but I think I would be wise to let them go on the bridge. If they make it, then I'll go over safely. That's kind of how I thought. And sure enough, one by one, they brought these little lamps, and they began to take the missionaries and different ones across. And I was one of the last ones, I mean, hanging on both sides and looking below. Finally got to the other side, and praise the Lord, I made it, no problem. Now, my reasoning was basic human reasoning. My reasoning was, well, you know, I'll watch and see how they do, and I'll kind of step back here and kind of let them test it for a while, and then maybe I'll run over later myself. But you know, there will come times in your life when God will put you into a situation where you can't gauge your obedience by what someone else does, and you can't judge your activity as a Christian life by how someone else made it. It's going to be between you and the Lord, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And I want you to know that one of the real bridges of trust that people face in the Christian life is a bridge called tithing or giving to the Lord. Many people are glad to be saved, and they like church, and they like meeting friends at church. And then all of a sudden God says, now I've given to you, right? Yes, you have, Lord. And I've given you a job, and I've given you the blessings of this earth, and I've given you your family. Yes, you have, Lord. You've been good. And now God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to honor me by taking some of that that I own and that I let you possess and that I let you steward, and I want you to honor me with it. And for many people, this is a big test of their faith in God. And so let's look at the bridge of trust. The first aspect of trusting God is to learn to honor the Lord. Notice in verse 9 of Proverbs 3, if you would, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, for those of you taking notes, the word honor means weighty or heavy. In other words, giving to the Lord should mean something to you. It should be a weighty matter. It should be something that's from your heart. I'm going to honor the Lord today as I give to Him. The Bible simply says, honor the Lord with thy substance. In other words, when we give tithes and offerings, we're not giving to the church, we're giving to the Lord, and we're honoring the Lord in this way. And the more passionate our faith, the more consistent our honor and our giving to the Lord. The more serious we are in our relationship with the Lord, the more serious we are about honoring Him. Did you know that in 16 of the 38 parables Jesus gave, that 16 out of 38 times His parabolic teaching dealt with money, or giving, or possessions? Because Jesus knew that if we had our treasure with Him, our heart would be with Him, and that we truly would want a closer relationship with Him through this form of worship. Now, in this verse, verse number 9, when it speaks about first fruits, it's speaking about the tithe or the tenth part. In the Bible speaks many times about giving offerings above and beyond the tithe. In fact, 724 times we find the word offering. It's in your notes one time there, Exodus 35, 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so many times people gave offerings like we're doing on March 14th. But here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, it's speaking about the tithe. And so let me just spend a moment to help many and to review with others what this matter of the first fruits is all about. God says, I want you to honor me with the first fruits. That means the first part of my blessing to you. The first part belongs to God. Leviticus 27, 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The word tithe simply means a tenth part. Now, in the Bible, you'll find when you read about the tithe, it doesn't say give the tithe. It says bring the tithe. It's not a matter of giving the tithe. It's a matter of bringing the tithe to the Lord. Why do we say that? Because we give an offering above and beyond what is already the Lord's. But here's a basic understanding in the Christian life, basic principle 101 about trusting God, and that is this. The tithe is already the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord, and so we're bringing to Him what is already His. The offering that He has provided for us to give is of a free will and by His grace above the tithe that is given. The LA Times recently was doing a study on charitable giving, and a lot of folks are doing studies on this these days and so forth. And they said that in this past year, past couple of years, I believe it covered, that the Roman Catholics in Southern California had given 1.2% of their annual income to their church. Now, before you get real excited about how good you're doing, the Protestants, they said, have given in the same period of time 2.6. Now, here's the good news, folks. We're not Catholic or Protestant. Isn't that great? We're Baptists. Some of you say, I thought Baptists were Protestant. No, in fact, the Catholics called us during the Reformation anti-baptism because we baptized people who got saved once they understood the gospel of salvation and in essence rejected the sprinkling of an infant. So we were called Anabaptist, and after the Reformation, they dropped the prefix Anna and just started calling us Baptist because we baptized by immersion. But in reality, we were in existence long before the Reformation itself. And the fact of the matter is that with such a rich heritage in Christ, with salvation by grace through Christ, and with all the blessings of God that He has given to us, how many of you think Baptists ought to do at least what the Bible says and bring the first fruits or the tithe unto the Lord? And so all of us can be challenged this morning. Tithing is God's fair way to begin in your stewardship. If you're standing at the bridge of trust in this matter, I want to encourage you to begin walking by faith and trusting God as you begin with that 10% beginning point, giving unto the Lord. I remember 30 years ago when Terry and I were getting ready to get married, and we were talking about establishing our household, and we literally had a little practice budget that we were making. And we looked on the paper and we could not figure out how we could give 10% and still afford macaroni and cheese and hot dogs and all the other essences of life that you need to enjoy. And I said, honey, I don't see how it's going to work. She said, I don't either. But by faith, we begin. And since that time, God has blessed, and we, of course, have increased and given much more than the tithe every year. But God wants you to begin somewhere. And for some of you today, you're saved, you're enjoying the journey, and now there's a bridge. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Give to the Lord the first fruits of the increase. And so it is the will of God. Time gave an interesting report. And every year the statistics remain similar. But they said recently that the state of Mississippi is the 49th poorest state in America. Anybody here from Mississippi? All right. I know of one or two in our church. Good people, by the way. 49th poorest state. But the 49th poorest state last year averaged $4,070 in charitable giving per family. That is the second highest giving per capita, per family in the United States of America. The 49th poorest gave the second highest. Now then, go to the state of Massachusetts, and they are the fourth in this survey. They are the fourth wealthiest state in the United States of America. And last year, the average family gave $2,645 per family. That means they were 49th in their charitable giving last year. Someone says, what's the difference? I can tell you what I believe it is. I believe that there are people in Mississippi who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are so thankful that they are not hell-bound. They are thankful they're heaven-bound, washed in the blood, on their way to heaven. And my friend, with Jesus as your Savior, there's a hope, there's a joy, there's a desire even to give. And God, even as He did in the New Testament, can touch the Macedonians who didn't have a whole lot and help them to do something great and mighty beyond their knowledge and understanding. And I believe that faith in Christ is a great difference in the giving of those people. Now, God says, I want you to give of the first fruits. When I bless you, I want you to honor me. Every time I bless you, I want you to honor me. Then He wants us to do this secondly with His people. God wants us to honor Him as we gather with His people. The church at Philippi was excellent at doing this. The Bible says in Philippians 4:15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, the church is called in the Greek language the ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. We are here today called out from this world. Most of us in this room are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are His possession, and we're here called out today for a purpose. And when the churches get together, one of the ways they worship God is by giving to Him. And Philippi did it time and time again, the Apostle Paul said. They would get together, take an offering, and send it to the missionary. Larry Burkett, in his book, Business by the Book, said, one of the primary goals of a Christian business is the funding of the gospel. In other words, as God blesses your business, as God blesses you at work, one of the thoughts a Christian man has is, how can I further the gospel with this blessing? How can I take the blessing of God and honor my Lord so that others can know how Jesus Christ saves? And so we honor Him with His people. Then notice, thirdly, we honor Him according to His plan. Now, the Christian life's not that hard. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now think of that. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. Now in the Greek, every one of you means every one of you. every one of you that have been blessed, God says, I want you to lay by in store, such as God hath prospered you. And so God says, I want you to honor me with my people and according to my plan. Honor the Lord. And then notice the bridge of trust is not only about honoring the Lord, but obviously it's about trusting the Lord. It's about giving Him our complete trust. Now notice, if you would, in your notes, Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8, as we learn how to prove the Lord. Malachi 3 and verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now God says, I want you to prove me. Some of you have heard of the Pepsi Challenge Coke, right? Well, God says, I'm giving you my challenge. I want you to prove me. And for those of you standing on this side of the bridge of trust, wondering how can you honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings, God says, I want you to try it. I want you to prove me now and see what I can do. You see, what we don't commit ourselves to do, we usually do not do. That's why a couple of times a year we'll have an opportunity to fill out a commitment of some kind so that we can say, this is my commitment. This is what I'm going to do. Now, a lot of folks will procrastinate and they'll say, well, I'm going to start exercising January 1st. No, I'm going to start February 1st. I'm going to start when I buy new tennis shoes. I'm going to start then or later. And they procrastinate. Some folks procrastinate with the matter of giving. As soon as I get a raise, I'm going to give. As soon as I win the lottery, I'm going to give. I've heard that one a lot. Procrastination, it's my greatest sin. It brings me endless sorrow. I'm going to stop doing it, perhaps tomorrow. You know somebody like that? They're always waiting till things are just a little bit better. But God says, prove me when? Prove me when? Prove me now, He says. I want you to prove me now. So the blessings of the journey. Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for the job you gave me. Thank you for my wife and children, Lord. Thank you for health, and thank you for food, and thank you for the blessings. I love the Christian life. What's this bridge? Tithing? Excuse me, Lord. I don't know about this part of it. What's this bridge? A trial? Excuse me, Lord. I like the good times. I like all the blessings, but trusting you through this, I don't know about that, Lord. And God says, I want you to follow me even across the bridge of trust. So there's the blessings of the journey, but there's the bridge of trust. And then I want to close this morning just with this thought, the belief of the faithful. What do we believe about trusting God? Look back to your text, if you would, at verse 10, Proverbs 3:10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, if you'll trust me with your business, if you'll trust me with your finances, I'm going to make sure that you don't run out of food. I'm going to make sure that your needs are met. A Bible believer has confidence in the Lord. First, that God will provide for our needs. We believe that God will provide for our needs because, you see, man's extremity is God's opportunity. And God says, I want to provide for your needs. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:30, for them that honor me will I honor. Think of that. For them that honor me. Remember, tithing is honoring the Lord. For those that honor me, God says, I will honor. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. J.L. Kraft, the founder of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, who throughout his life gave 25% of his corporate income to the work of God. He said, and I quote, the only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? And that's so true. You see, you say, well, I don't know, I'm going to put mine in Enron, or I'm going to put mine in this or that. And yet, thank God that whatever we give to the Lord pays eternal dividends. Now, there's four ways to take God's blessing as He provides for your need and to multiply those. Let me give them quickly to you. First of all, we need to work diligently. God says, I want you to work diligently. If a man does not work, he should not eat. Secondly, He says, I want you to steward efficiently. I want you to take these blessings and steward them. That may mean in studying purchases. It may mean in refining your family budget. It may mean by cutting up credit cards. Can I get an amen on that one? I heard about one fella. He had his credit card stolen. He was going to turn it into the police, but he decided not to because the thieves were spending so much less than his wife spent. He thought he'd just not report that. And maybe you have that problem. Maybe you need to cut up the credit card, steward efficiently. Thirdly, you need to invest wisely. Proverbs 11:6, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. You need to invest wisely so that when there is a need that God brings into your life or in the life of ministry, that you're able to respond to that need. Be careful of get-rich-quick schemes, and be careful of all these things that are just instant this and instant that. But systematically, carefully, do what God would have you to do in your investing. And then fourthly, give generously. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And this is the principle that God is teaching us, that as we honor him, he will honor us. God will provide for our needs. Let me say quickly, God will provide abundantly for our needs. Some of you are standing on this side of the bridge called giving, this bridge of trust, and you're wondering, if I do that, how am I going to be able to feed my family? My friend, I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. God will provide. Look at Luke 6:38 in your notes there. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Hey, you say, I got a bonus at work. It wasn't from work. It was from the Lord. You say, never believe what happened to me. So-and-so did this or that. No, the Lord is blessing you. Men shall give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. I heard about a man that was in heaven. He entered into heaven, and St. Peter met him there. By the way, it's not going to happen that way, but that's how all the stories go, isn't it? And they're walking along, he and Peter, and they're walking by mansion after mansion after mansion. Finally, they come to this little tiny hut. I mean, this little shack. And the man says to Peter, all the other people get these mansions, and this is what I get? Peter says, hey, we did the best we could with what you sent ahead. Now, folks, aren't you glad it's not like that? Aren't you glad salvation is by grace and there's no caste system in heaven? Aren't you thankful that every one of us are equal citizens of heaven and that the ground is level at the cross? But I tell you what, we can send our treasures ahead. And the only fruit of that that I believe we're going to see are the souls that we see in heaven who came to Christ through the ministries of the local church and the missions that are supported by the people of God. And so the blessings of the journey are many, many. And the bridge of trust is going to be something that all of us will need to cross. But when we do, we believe that God will provide and meet the needs of his people. It was Jesus who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I believe Jesus Christ sets the supreme example. And I want you to think of that as Jesus Christ went up the lonely hill of the skull, as the nails went through his hands and his feet, as the crowns were placed upon, the crown of thorns upon his head. Jesus Christ, as the blood came flowing down, gave himself in order that we might have our sins forgiven. And he's the one who says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I want you to see as we close 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Let me just stop right there and say, my friend, we don't give money so that we can get our sins forgiven. We are not redeemed because we give an offering or because we knock doors. We're not saved by our good works. We don't do these things in order to go to heaven. We're not redeemed by silver, gold, or dollar bills. But look what the Bible says in verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word. In today's edition, Dr. Chappell has been taking us through a series entitled Highway 1. Learning how to journey through life with God and for God. Friend, the beginning of Highway 1 is really that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you made that decision? Do you know that He is in your heart and life? If not, then we would encourage you in the privacy of your own heart to pray a prayer of faith, believing, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, to save you, to give you His gift of eternal life, and to take you to heaven. But more than that, to be your Savior today, your one and only Savior, to walk with life through, to trust in, to rely upon, and to seek a relationship with Him. If you have more questions about that, we would love to talk with you. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment, and we'd love to help you understand what it means to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Before we close our program, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a daily link to Pastor Chappell's devotional. You can also subscribe to that devotional and receive it in your email box every day, free of charge. It will take you through the Bible in 1 year. You'll also find the Daily in the Word podcast, also available as a free subscription. You can download this program and take it with you and listen to it on your phone or iPod or computer at your convenience. Maybe there's a friend that you know that could benefit from Daily in the Word. Shoot them an email and send them a link to dailyintheword.org. On the website, be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This is a hardback book, 184 pages, and it's an allegory that helps you understand the burden-bearer relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with you. Who is carrying your load through life? Are you trying to carry your load for Him, or are you allowing Him to carry the load and do His work through you? The burden-bearer will encourage and help you understand this relationship in a wonderful, fresh way. It's The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.